So I have three words for you today to start with. First one, hopefully you can read these. Say that with me. One, two, three.
Should.
Okay. Second word. Can. Third word.
Will.
Should, can, will. All right. So it's a question I'm asking today. Should I? Can I? Will I? It's different. A lot of times we can say, well, I should do this, but then we go, oh, I don't think I can do that. Hey, Nathan, you should run 5 miles today. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. I will not do that. So should, can, and will. I just want to throw that out there. And then I'm also going to share a scripture real quick to start. This is a scripture that means a lot to me. So it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, real strong word, impossible. Without faith, impossible, please him, God. For whoever would draw near to God or come to God must first believe that he exists. And here's the phrase, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there's a connection between diligently or seeking God and God's reward. Okay, it's not a works thing. We aren't better because we do a bunch of stuff. It's about diligently seeking God and him saying, I'm going to reward you. We've talked about that word reward the last few weeks. Oh, hey, did I say good morning, by the way? All right, let me go backwards. Good morning. My name's Nathan. I'm on the pastor elder team here, and I'm the community presence pastor, and I'm your partner for loving the community and neighborhoods along with you. And it's my privilege today to bring you a continuing message in Living Upside Down. And the message is called Moving God's Heart today. And so, welcome. And you know what? We're going to have a barbecue today. Woo! But we're going to talk about fasting first. Come on. So, I actually asked about that. How can you give me the topic of fasting and then plan a barbecue? Like, so I've been conflicted with that all week, so just letting you know. So let's say a prayer. Lord God, we love you so much. And we're really nothing without you. And so may you fill us and lead us with your spirit if we know you. And if we don't know you, please bring those to you, to a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I give you all the words and music and everything for today, giving it to you. Just bless us and guide us in your holy, holy name. Amen. So, talking about giving, praying, and fasting today, so I have three other words that we've already covered. So, give, pray, fast. We'll get to that in a second, but that's the three words today. It's from Matthew 6, 16, 18, and it's actually particularly on fasting. So I want to start with just a couple stories. Think of something that you're good at. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. I'm still good at baseball, played a lot of years. But you might be good at cooking, you might be good at motorcycle riding, you might be good at internet gaming, you might be good at, name something. Think of something that you're good at. And think of the number of times that you've done that thing, probably thousands of times or tens of thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands. You've done stuff a lot of times. And so I want you to imagine this morning that you're back in the Bible times and Jesus in our passage had said, hey, come here. All you that are following me, come here. And I want to talk to you for a second. So they sat down on some grass or a hill, and they just sat there like this. Pretend we're on a grass hill or something like a lawn, you know, like maybe your lawn chair, a blanket, and you're just sitting there. And he says, hey, I want to tell you some stuff. Now, this is Jesus, right? He's the creator of the universe. He's the master knowledge. Our knowledge is a 2-liter bottle. His is the oceans of the world and beyond. So we're like, huh? So he's going to teach his folks, and I want you to think of him like the expert, like the thing you're good at that you've done tens of thousands or 100,000 times. He's the teacher and the coach. And so he's gathering his disciples and he's going to teach them. And so we've been through that in the passages that we've been reading. It's a lot of content. It's a whole bunch of stuff. So imagine yourself being a coach and gathering your team and saying, hey, everyone, we're going to go out there today and we're going to sew, or we're going to cook, or we're going to whatever we're going to do. And so it's your role to create energy and create, you know, zip to do that thing. So you've probably been in some places. I was in a chess club one time, and the coach before the tournament would say, I'm not going to say, but he would say some stuff, right? It was more mind thing and, you know, how to think three moves ahead, stuff like that. I've done a lot of events, so you've probably led an event or something like that where you're saying, hey, thanks for coming today. Everyone, we're going to serve people today, or we're going to flip burgers or whatever it is, and then I have some instructions and let's do this. Done that before? You're the instruction giver. Or maybe I was in football and it was more like, what are you guys doing? It was different in football, what they would tell us. And then you've led a family before, I'm sure. So those are times where we're the leader or we're the coach and we're gathering people around and we're, hey, this is really important to us in this family. And this is it. Or you did what? So we've all been in those roles. And so that's the role Jesus is in here on the passages that we're studying, is he's going over a lot of content that is important to him, that he wants us to take away and to do. And we're back there with the disciples. We're his followers now. And this is all written down for us. And so fly by Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of things of evil against you falsely on my account. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Okay, a lot of stuff, right? Each week we've been boom, 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 boom. More content, more content, more content. And it's not stopping. He talked about anger. He talked about lust and adultery and divorce and oaths and keeping our word and retaliation, not retaliating, and loving our enemies, actually the people that will be the hardest to love. Content, 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 content. This is like people that do content stuff, it's too much. That's it, stop, too much. And so we've been going boom, 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 bullet points. And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm like, oh, another content point? I don't really have that last one yet. Okay, put that aside. This one now. This one now. This one now. So you get it, right? A lot. A lot. So how much have we practiced each of those points? Like, have we gone back and gone, okay, let's see. Blessed are the meek today. I'm going to do that 50 times. And not again, not about being, ooh, I did it 50 times, about getting better at it. How many times have I made peace today? I'm going to be a peacemaker today. This is Jesus gathering us here and saying, hey, these are important things to me. Let's do these things. So we've covered a lot of ground, and I'm going to propose to you that we're on Team Kingdom. Say that with me on three. One, two, three. Team Kingdom. Let's say it again. One, two, three. Team Kingdom. This is Jesus' movement that he started when he came. He died for us. He invited us in, and we're on Team Kingdom. So I'm hoping you're on Team Kingdom. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, who else? Who else is on Team Kingdom? Yeah, we all are, okay? And so is the city. There's people all over the city that are on Team Kingdom. It's not just us. Actually, we have four other groups that would say they're Team Kingdom right here too. And then we have people everywhere, right? But you're Team Kingdom right here at Magnolia Baptist, right? Are you? Yeah, you are, you are, you are. It's exciting. And so the content that we've been over, it's for Team Kingdom. It's us. It's us. It's not me. Hey, Pastor Nathan. Hey, Pastor Mike. Hey, Elder Duane. Hey, Elder. Go ahead and be the salt and light. And no. It's us. Okay? It's you in your neighborhood, at your workplace, and I could list off lots of things. So this is big stuff. This is really big stuff. We are on his team. We are the people that take this to our neighborhoods. The world needs us. The world needs you. Your neighborhood needs you. So I was standing in a driveway a couple weeks ago with a former gang member, and I didn't know that till the person told me they were a former gang member. And a little bit about their story, because we were trying to help another person who was going to go be delivered from an addiction. And so I was the connector. I only brought the person asking for help to the person that could help. And they were in a group with some other people, and then one was a gang member. And there was a conversation and a bunch of stuff, and then finally the person getting the help, like, oh, never mind, I'm not going to do it. So the guy next to me, the gang member, he says, what? Do it now. Like, don't change your mind. Let's go. I'm not going to do it. So then the person next to me says, you know what? Jesus broke my chains. He delivered me. Jesus broke my chains. He delivered me from my addiction. And you know what, you guys? What is our message? Be a peacemaker 50 times? No. It's Jesus broke our chains. That's what it is. He broke the chains of fear. He broke the chains of anxiety. He broke the chains of brokenness and rejection. He broke the chains of election paranoia. He forgives sin, past, present, and future. He gives eternal life. He's the healer. He's who we need. Jesus broke my chains. Broke my chains. So that's our message, right? Team Kingdom, what's our message? Jesus broke my chains. Amen? So we need Jesus. We need him. We need him now. We need him tomorrow. We need him this week. Everywhere we are, we need Jesus. And we speak Jesus, don't we? And I'm not talking about, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. Jesus is cool. The Jesus that breaks the chains is not the same Jesus that's cool. So it's easy for us to get into our spiritual little Jesus loves you, Jesus is cool. And the guy that told me, Jesus broke my chains. That Jesus is the one that we speak. So we're going to have a song now. We're going to reflect a little bit. Are you on Team Kingdom? Yes. Amen. I want you on there, Team Kingdom. God wants you on there. Let's be Team Kingdom. And let's speak Jesus. Team Kingdom. Woo! All right. Let me hear it for Team Kingdom. Yeah. All right. That's you. That's us. And a lot of other people, too. So another scripture I like, John 13:17. Jesus does the foot washing thing. And at the end of it, it's crazy. You can read it later. He says this, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So we've been over a lot of ground, content. Team Kingdom. Do. You will be blessed if you do them. Now, I'm not saying you're not doing them. I'm just focusing on we got to be this. We got to do this. So that thing that you chose that you're good at, I want you to think of that again. And some of you have won awards for that thing that you're good at. Okay, if I did a survey, some of you won awards. The thing I'm good at, I'm going to talk about it, and I want you to raise your right hand and say, I will not accuse Nathan of being a bragger and saying a bunch of stuff about himself, and I won't hold it against him. Because I'm going to talk about my story a little bit. It's hard to do. But you're going to learn a little bit about me, and then I'm asking you to compare it to the thing you're good at. You're not, all of you aren't good at baseball, okay? Some of you are. What? Yeah, some of you just said amen. I'm not going to go into the team thing, but I could. But so some of you are good at X. So I want you to think about that, what you're good at. So for me, I'm going to start with this, an award I got. And remember, great is your reward with your father if you do this in secret, right? If you do it publicly, zero. Yeah, look at Nathan. That's your reward. That's it. But if you do it in secret, great is your reward, right? And that's a focus. So this is a trophy. I hate to admit the date, but it says Most Valuable Player Olympic League 1981, Nathan Zug. So my senior year of high school, I was the most valuable player in my entire league for baseball. And because of that, I got offers to colleges. But how in the world was me, 95-pound, 4'8", toothpick guy, the MVP of my league, right? How did that happen? Because when I walked onto my ninth grade thing to try out for JV, they didn't have a varsity, they're calling me toothpick, 95 and 4'8". And so back T-ball, my dad put me in T-ball. He worked with me, I hit off the tee. Then I played littler league, you know, a little bigger little league. And then I played majors, littler kids, but they called it majors. And then I played seniors. And I learned lots of stuff, like basic stuff, like this. I had to do this 200 times, one team I was on. Hey, go do the glove flip 200 times, then come back. Oh, okay. So how many times do you think I did this by high school? Tens of thousands. No question about it, okay? So by the time I got to high school and I was that 4'8", 95-pound person, I developed all kinds of stuff. Like, okay, go over there and take ground balls. This is the stance you're in. This is the stance you're in. You're going to just take a ground ball and you're going to do that. You're going to take a ground ball and do that. You're going to take a ground ball and do that. And then you're going to do this. And then you're going to do that. And then you're going to dive. We're going to throw the ball right over there and you're going to dive. Thousands of times. Thousands. So when I walked onto that high school campus, and I went to public school my whole life, I knew nobody at Whittier Christian High. Zero. I knew nobody. I begged my dad not to send me there. I knew. And then there was no politics. Hey, this guy, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. I had to walk on the field and try out. But guess what? I could catch balls. I could throw balls. I was the fastest guy on the 40-yard thing. Pew! So they started calling me Ziggy after that. So I could run fast, I could fill balls, and I could hit the ball. So guess what? I made the team. And I started my freshman year on the JV team at shortstop. And all it was basic fundamentals of catching, tossing, throwing thousands of times so that no matter what situation I was in, guess what I could do? No problem. Rain, sun, wind, cold, hot, it didn't matter. A lot of people, nobody, just practiced on it. So, so good. Okay, so we look at people sometimes and we go, wow, they're good at that. We have no idea how many times they practice that. Right? So I have a little video clip that I'm going to show that it's about 10 seconds, Major Leagues. That, just check it out. The Angels, actually. Okay, it's not on that screen. So, all right, so that's called a shovel. So, you know, the guy's fielding it like this. He's not going to grab it in his hand because that takes too long. He's just going to go like that. So that's a thing, shovel thing. You do that thousands of times. But when that happens, you just go, oh, wow, look at that guy. No. That guy practiced that. A lot of times, okay? He didn't just do that and then go like that, because your brain can go, ooh, in this situation, when I'm doing this, boom, right there, because you've practiced it 10,000 times. All right, let me go back to the content thing, peacemaker. You're not going to be a peacemaker the first time, the second time, the 10th time, maybe. And this is not me pulling it off, it's God using me. There's that factor. I'm not saying you can grit your teeth and be a peacemaker. I'm just saying this is being stuff that we engage, practice. Instead of watching TV for 3 hours, I practice the other thing. Because when I was playing this, hey, Nathan, let's go snowboarding. You know what? I got to take 300 ground balls. And hey, Nathan, I'm going to practice my baseball stuff. Man. No, but you know what? Later, sometime later, I'm not saying I was all that. I was the best guy in the league because I practiced. And I was confident in every situation that baseball could throw at me. So I'm going to show another clip. I'm going to look up here this time. It's going to show it a couple times. Just, you're like, what? Double play. Guy rips the guy off of a hit first, shovels it, double play, instead of scoring a run. So he's practiced this lots of times. Boom. Okay, so you're with me, right? Practice. It doesn't happen by accident. None of this stuff happens by accident. It's us thinking through, blessed are, all the content, thinking it through and putting it into practice. That's what this is. It's not a bunch of church people that come on Sundays and just go, hey, that was a great message. I'll be back next week. It's all week we're engaging and practicing, right? So one more. This is, hold on. So there's lots of skills I could go over. I'm not going to go over base running, stance, swing, etc. There's emotional parts of the game. Like when you're mad, when someone makes you mad, when all kinds of emotional things that play with your head. Okay, like getting beamed with the ball. So I've been beamed many times with the ball. On purpose, on accident, at batting practice, friendly fire, all kinds of stuff, right? Still hurts and still messes with your head. So I'm going to show, it's a 1 minute clip. I think the guy, it turned out positive. Speaks of mental aptitude and, you know, goodness. All right, so let's watch this clip. 98 to the head. Not too happy, probably hurt, probably was loud too, kaboom to your head. Miles an hour. How many times can we show this? But, you know, this is what I like. So, content, practice. So, Team Kingdom. Hey, Team Kingdom. Matthew 5 and 6. Practice. Pick a couple things and practice. Winning isn't the most important thing. The discipline of playing the game, faithfully executing the basic skills, not getting rattled mentally and emotionally about what you're called to do. So many times came to the game and like, ooh, this field's too wet, like they flooded it last night. Or, oh, the right-hander I was going to face, not happening today, throwing this guy. Or, I hurt my leg yesterday and I can't play the same. Like challenges and obstacles that come your way. So all my baseball stuff, when I was preparing for this message, it came back to me. And I said to myself, hey, blessed are. You have heard it said, hey, Nathan, How much do you practice that? Pick something, Nathan, and go over it. So, Team Kingdom. Practice, practice, practice. Pick a couple things. Not all the things. Can't do all the things. But pick some and just keep practicing, practicing, practicing. Eventually, you develop a confidence. Eventually, you're going to have somebody next to you going and helping you. Hopefully, you have those. And then you're going to face whatever challenge you face in executing that basic thing, you're going to develop confidence. And you're going to get better and better. So I learned through baseball that it was actually God who gave me these skills and gifts, and that it was for him I was doing it, and that it really wasn't for me to go, ooh, look at me. It was for me to display the truth of God in my body and my activities and speak Jesus. Eventually I learned that. I didn't know that at first. Speak Jesus to people because I'm going to be skilled and good at the Christian stuff. And I don't mean work my way to heaven. I don't mean that at all. I don't mean go, ooh, look at what I did this week. I mean when it's called for, the content's called for, you can do it. Gladly and joyfully and skillfully. So with God's leading and filling and guidance, we can actually execute the content of Matthew 5 and 6. So again, Team Kingdom, pick some things to practice, 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 and let's go do it. Praise team's going to come back. I was asked by a high school person one time when I was youth pastoring, hey, Nathan, can you really be perfect? Can you be perfect? And I go, well, you can be more perfect than you are today. Like, how bad do you want this? I asked him, I named off a couple top chart songs. They started singing it, you know. Like, okay, tell me what John 4, the whole pet chapter of John 4. Tell me Colossians 3. Like, what? But 50 songs of the day they could say. And I said, now, don't take this the wrong way. I'm just saying. It's about what you practice and what you work on and how God can use that skill versus not skill. That was to cut out the song signal. All right, I'll explain later. So I hesitate to give you more content. But I'm going to give you a little more content. So the actual text of the day is Matthew 6, 16 to 18. And I see God as a loving father who's looking down and going, Nathan, I love you. I know you're not all that. I know you make mistakes, but I love you. And I see myself as someone who wants to go, God, I want to please you. Not because I want to be God's pet, teacher's pet, whatever, but because I really want to please you. I want to execute the stuff to be your servant and to be a good servant and to have well done. Not, hey, you did kind of go okay, you know, try again. I want to be well done guy. And so think of God as a loving father who you can actually go, God, I need help. I need help. I'm going to practice this more. Can you give me a little grace and favor? Like, please. And so when we come to our passage, we come to when you give, when you pray, when you fast. It's three things in a row, boom, boom, boom. They're very similar in the construction and all that. And it's basically assumed that you're going to give, pray, and fast. And so the challenge for me with this message was, Ooh, fasting is in the give, pray lineup. It's kind of like ball, bat, glove. Like, ooh, I can't do without one of these. And so Jesus kind of just says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. They're all three there. And they're all three humbly motivated things. So they're, don't let people know. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't be showy. Do it. Do it secretly. Do it and don't say anything. Act like everything's normal. You got that? That's basically those that three-thing lineup. Give, pray, fast. So there's some particular things that I'll mention about the fasting. I find it interesting that he says in there, when you, so I'm going to read 16 through 18. When you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Woo, look at that, that guy's fasting. That's it. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret sees, and we, Father who is in secret will reward you. So I like to say that giving, praying, and fasting is kind of like unseen. You're just in a rhythm of doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. And then someday, this is Nathan's opinion, but I'm backed by the scripture a lot. Mr. McNeff, come on up here. We're gonna show the database of heaven at the times you gave and no one knew, and the times you sacrificed and gave and no one knew, and the big list. Way to go, Pastor Mike. Or Mrs. Mitchell. Or I could pick anybody, right? It's not going to be known here about this because we're... the fundamental stuff is going on all the time without a big notice. Does that make sense? So if I was fasting today, I'm just going to say I'm not fasting today. I figured I wouldn't ask you to skip the lunch. I figured I wouldn't get into the politics of like different things because I could do that. Like I could, like, I'm not doing it. So, but I could take this sign at the end, put it on my chest, and I could walk over there and just walk around. Hey, Coach Dorsey, he was my coach one time. How's that burger? Man, I'm hungry, but I'm fasting today. Right? You could do so many things, like just, oh, what's, hey, what's going on? Nathan, do you sleep well? Oh, no, 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 I'm fasting today. You get it, right? I love the story, and I don't have time to go into it, but David, when he had that terrible sin with Bathsheba, and, you know, he got called out on it, and the prophet said, you will not die, but a bunch of stuff's going to happen to you because of what you did. You shamed my name. And so the baby's going to die. So for 7 days, David prayed, fasted, laid on the ground. And at the end of 7 days, the baby died. And all his servants were like, oh, crud, let's don't tell him. He's going to get more upset. So he saw the stirring and he said, hey, did the baby die? And they said, yes, the baby died. So he got up, he washed his face, he put on new clothes, and he went out and it freaked him out. They're like, what are you doing? He said, well, God, I asked him for grace. He didn't see fit for that. So I'm going to move on. I'm going to dress, I'm going to wash. So that imagery, the way he looked after, that's what it says. Be normal, but fast. So we could talk a lot about the context here, which I just went over. The definition, which is, this is all on your notes. Abstaining from food, solid or liquid, for spiritual purposes does not usually include water, but it did in the scriptures a few times. It included water, too. Esther, when she got in a dilemma, she went, like, go home and don't drink food or water for 3 days. Don't eat and don't drink for 3 days. And pray like mad for me because I might die. So it's not for weight loss or for body benefit or different things. It's for spiritual purposes, and it's food and water. That's what we see in the scripture. Over the time in the Bible, you know, we saw David, Moses, Elijah, Esther, Daniel, Jesus, Paul. Jesus fasted for 40 days. It's all over in the Bible. And so when we come to this text, it was a common practice. Jesus entered the scene. He's basically saying when this happens, because it was a common practice, the fasting and the giving and the praying. So it was expected, and it was implied that people did it. It wasn't commanded. It was more like a duty almost, but you can't really call it a duty either. What are the benefits? Spiritual devotion, growth, healing, discipline, victory over physiological cravings and things. What's the two riverbanks to me? I like to always define things right and left, like what's the worst and the best. I'm not saying this is worst and best. I'm just saying two riverbanks. So on the one side is spiritual devotion, growth, and discipline. I'm fasting to just be a more devoted, dedicated, God-pleasing, disciplined person. Okay? Almost like, you know what, today I'm not playing baseball anymore, but I'm going to do 200 glove flips. I want to be better at it, in case somebody calls me up and says, hey, you want to play baseball? But devotion to spiritual things, on the one hand. On the other hand, oh no, this horrible, terrible thing happened. I'm going to fast and pray now. So to me, that's the two sides. There's a lot of range in between, but in the Bible we see, oh no, fast and pray, because this terrible thing happened, so we're going to do this. So it's for that, but it's also for spiritual benefit. What are some types of fasting? We see a lot of stuff in the Bible, a meal, hours, day, multiple days, weeks. And then I'm going to say there's some stuff today and in the past and even in the Bible on, you know, take something, another activity and don't do it and devote yourself more to spiritual things. So I'm going to not computer game for an hour, and I'm going to walk around my neighborhood and knock on doors and greet people with the little bag that Valerie talked about. Instead of doing these things, I'm going to devote myself to spiritual things for the betterment of myself and the kingdom. So it's kind of, that's a thing, but it's going without food for spiritual benefit. So I have some next steps, and just throwing out the should, can, will. Team Kingdom, throwing out the should, can, will. I hope it's a will. And then practice, practice, practice. Lots of content you could pick. So on the next steps, and I want to be rewarded for diligently seeking or seeking God, just because I want to, because I love him. And I want to diligently seek God and have him say, I'm going to reward Nathan for that. Not why I do it, but I'm hoping for that. So the next steps. Ponder, I'm going to let you read them, but some ones I thought of. There's a lot of content in Matthew 5 and 6. Pick something and practice, practice, practice. Just maybe don't tell people, but or tell somebody, hey, I'm going to try this for the next week. I'm going to practice this. Study up on something else. Fast for one meal. Fast for a couple hours. Fast for a day. There's lots of stuff there that you could pick. So, Team Kingdom. Are we Team Kingdom? Oh, a lot less energetic. Did I put you to sleep? Don't answer that. So Team Kingdom. Yeah. All right. Let's go practice, practice, practice. Not fasting today. Okay? Have a good barbecue. And I'm not lightening the fasting thing by saying, hey, go enjoy the barbecue. I'm saying there's a lot of content. Today's about fasting. Consider it. Go to this at some point. And then our hope is to move God's heart. Our hope is, I have people that I text on a regular basis, help, please pray for me. I call them my big hitters. And my hope when I do that is that prayer moves the heart of God in a way that he answers the prayer. It's very visible in the Bible this happened. Please pray because of X. And I do this regularly. I take 10 minutes to sit down and I text 20 people. And you know what? God answers those prayers. He does. Maybe not exactly how I want to, but he answers them. So moving God's heart by giving, praying, fasting, that's what we're after for the right reason, so that we will be rewarded for diligently seeking God. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. It's a first-class condition, if and you will, for sure. Since you will do them. Talk about first, second, third, fourth class later. So our praise group's going to come up. We're going to close on a song called Move Your Heart. And it's my hope and prayer that I can move God's heart by practicing my Team Kingdom stuff and begging God through different ways and being God's person so that he goes, you know what, Nathan? You know what, Team Magnolia? I got that. I bless you. I reward you. So, Team Kingdom. And by the way, if you're not in Team Kingdom, like you find yourself, I don't think I'm on Team Kingdom. We'd love to have you in Team Kingdom. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ through your faith in him, through his death on the cross, and through a decision you make to be on Team Kingdom. So if that's you, Pastor Mike's here. Pastor Sam's back there in the middle. Raise your hand, Pastor Sam. Let's see. Who else could show someone the way of salvation, right? A lot of hands. So talk to somebody because we want you on Team Kingdom. And then Team Kingdom, practice, practice, practice. And let's move God's heart through giving, fasting, praying, giving, praying, fasting. Are you in?
Yes.
Are you in? All right, let's pray. Father God, holy is your name. May your kingdom come and may your will be done right here at MBC and all across our city and all around the world. Particularly, Lord, we're begging you for right here. This is where we are and where we live. So may your kingdom come and your will be done here. We ask that you would give us today all that we need, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass or those debts that are against us. And lead us not in temptation, Lord, but forgive us, protect us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever, Lord. Amen.